And now she's holding press conferences talking about the fact that people have the right to peacefully protest and that they're a city of immigrants. Well, they're not a city of immigrants. They're a city of criminals.
Are we still on FCC radio?
Yes.
Then I'll hold my tongue.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling there's something right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA and on dozens of other fine affiliate stations on both the airwaves and the internets around the country and the world, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, at frombradblog.com, something like that. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here as we are once again live from the City of Angels, the City of Immigrants. No, not the City of Criminals. Anyway, we will have some non-Los Angeles news today for you as well, a good bit of it, in fact, and Desi Doyen's Green News Report later on. If there's time, but we'll see. Well, we're just sort of beginning to get our sea legs back here today after yesterday's corrective program, in which I felt it was necessary to paint an accurate picture of what's actually going on here in Los Angeles by way of contrast to both the Trump administration and Trump himself pretending that LA was just out of control, burning to the ground. Rioting and looting across the city and the county, the citizenry cowering in fear as gangs of hungry jackals roam the now barren landscape seeking their next meal or whatever it is. And of course, media coverage, which knowingly or not, sort of helped to paint that fantasy hellscape into a sort of reality for people who were following along in the rest of the country by focusing on, you know, a self-driving car burning and two or three anarchists, troublemakers, which, by the way, could be MAGA for all we actually know, in an industrial block or two of downtown LA, a tiny little area where no one actually lives or goes unless they have business at or are being detained at the downtown federal building. In fact, it was over the weekend out here. It was just a lovely, peaceful weekend. As it is today, again, here in L.A., even as the Trump administration continues to try and stoke violence with perfectly lawful demonstrators in hopes of distracting from Trump's failed presidency. With military-style raids of Home Depot parking lots, hoping to, find pathetic, bloodthirsty sociopath Stephen Miller's required 3,000 arrests a day quota for ICE, even if it means rounding up non-criminal day laborers and children. They still count in the 3,000, right? And since all of that wasn't apparently happening enough to keep us from noticing Trump's failures, including his failed inflationary tariff regime, his legislative budget agenda, which even his own members of Congress do not want to pass into law, and of course his alleged inclusion in the Epstein files, as loudly proclaimed by his once and future buddy Elon Musk. So the administration is now taking the unprecedented step of deploying California National Guard in defiance of California's governor and U.S. Marines in defiance of the Constitution and the rule of law to try and effectuate Trump's dream of becoming the nation's first dictator, and he just might get there. In addition to the unlawfulness of needlessly deploying soldiers on U.S. streets, literally forcing some of them to sleep on the streets because the administration didn't figure out how to actually house them before needlessly deploying them to Los Angeles. Turns out this tough guy show of force is also really expensive. Not that Trump cares one bit, not one single bit about government spending or deficits. as he has long lied to the public about. But according to Trump's acting Defense Department comptroller today, if he is to be believed, the Pentagon estimates the deployment of National Guard troops and Marines to Los Angeles for no good reason other than a show of Trump's power will cost about $134 million. That, according to Bryn McDonnell, a special assistant to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, during a House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee today. The
answer, but apparently, it will not also include housing for those soldiers.
Well, we don't know. I mean, are they not even going to be housed? Yeah, not yet. They ain't. They're sleeping on the floor at the federal building, out on the streets. The answer came as far as, you know, how much this is all going to cost or how much they're claiming it costs. It came after more than an hour after Hegseth had originally refused to answer the question about the cost of Trump's decision to call in some now 4,000 California National Guard troops and 700 active duty U.S. Marines to Los Angeles to supposedly quell protests against immigration and customs enforcement raids. The former Fox News host turned Trump SecDef also refused to respond to questions about where that money was going to come from. What training missions were not happening because of this deployment, and how the Pentagon is prepared to move forward on this budgetarily, given the fact that this is the House committee that oversees budgeting. They have no idea. Later in the hearing, California Democratic Congressman Pete Aguilar expressed, quote, severe concern with the deployment of the National Guard in Los Angeles without consultation of the state of California, pointing to photographs circulating on social media, as originally published by the San Francisco Chronicle on Monday, that shows troops sleeping on the floor of government buildings. He also repeated the claim from the California governor, Gavin Newsom, that the service members have not been provided fuel, food, or water by the Defense Department, which Hegseth disputed, though conceded, quote, there are moments where you make do as best you can temporarily, indicating essentially that they were working to make sure that the troops are housed and fed and provided with water, quote, in real time. In other words, they're just figuring that part out. He also noted the deployment was expected to last 60 days. That'll be fun. All of that after reports late on Monday that the Department of Homeland Security chief and puppy murderer Kristi Noem has asked Pete Hegseth to significantly escalate the deployment of U.S. troops. San Francisco Chronicle reported in another exclusive that they had obtained a letter that it said was sent from Noem to Hegseth on Sunday evening, asking military forces to, quote, either detain, just as they would at any federal facility guarded by military lawbreakers under Title 18, until they can be arrested and processed by federal law enforcement, or go ahead and arrest them, unquote. Acting on that request, of course, would mean going far beyond Saturday's presidential memo federalizing the National Guard that states that the Guard is in Los Angeles to, quote, temporarily protect ICE and other U.S. government personnel who are performing federal functions, including the enforcement of federal law, and to protect federal property at locations where protests against these functions are occurring or are likely to occur, based on current threat assessments and planned operations. In other words, they're supposed to be there merely to support federal officials. They are not supposed to be there to arrest and detain people themselves, at least not according to Trump's proclamation over the weekend. But Noem's letter appears to go far beyond the current White House directive, indicating that it may be laying the groundwork, in fact, for Donald Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act. That, according to experts quoted by the Chronicle. Now, as we explained yesterday, Trump has invoked Article 10 authority to federalize members of the California National Guard. which allows the president to do so, but in certain limited circumstances. And it's unclear if what is happening in L.A. is even one of those circumstances. Via the orders of the governor, that those troops can be deployed. So, but it requires the governor to actually issue those orders, which decidedly has not happened in this case, since Governor Gavin Newsom opposes Trump's federalization of troops, who are usually commanded by the governor of the states, the National Guard. Article 10 also does not allow federal troops to act as police on U.S. soil, as Noam seems to be asking for here. So any attempt to have those troops arrest anyone would also be unlawful under Article 10 and the Posse Comitatus Act, unless Trump invokes the Insurrection Act, which he hasn't, at least not yet. Des, let me know if that happens before the show is over today.
Will do.
During the far larger demonstrations, however, back in the summer of 2020, after the murder of George Floyd, Trump was asked by George Stephanopoulos about invoking the Insurrection Act.
We have laws. We have to go by the laws. We can't move in the National Guard. I can call insurrection, but there's no reason to ever do that, even in a Portland case. We can't call in the National Guard unless we're requested by a governor.
So there was no reason to ever call an insurrection, invoke the Insurrection Act back during the George Floyd demonstrations across the country. But now, with the far, far smaller and less destructive demonstrations in L.A., well, I guess that means he would never invoke the Insurrection Act, right? To use military troops to arrest American protesters, right? As we shared on the show yesterday, Trump was asked about that on Monday, about the comments that he made back in 2020, and, well, what's different now?
In 2020, when you were talking about unrest in American cities, you said, quote, we have to go by the laws. We can't call in the National Guard unless we're requested by a governor. What changed now? Why is this situation different to not consult with Governor Newsom about this?
Well, the biggest change from that statement is we have an incompetent governor. So I talked about governors, but I didn't talk about he's an incompetent governor. Look at the job he's doing in California.
Well, if he's incompetent, he's the same governor we had in place in 2020, back when Trump said it would, you know, he couldn't just put out the National Guard without the agreement of the governor. Same guy's in office now, but now he's incompetent? Okay. Anyway, the DHS Secretary Noam's letter to Hegseth asked him to federalize troops, detain and arrest people. That would seem at least to indicate otherwise, that yes, in fact, they are thinking about invoking the Insurrection Act. She said, quote, we need support to our law enforcement officers and agents across Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, ICE, Customs and Border Protection, CBP, and Federal Protection Services as they defend against invasive, violent, insurrectionist mobs that seek to protect invaders and military-aged males belonging to identified foreign terrorist organizations and who seek to prevent the deportation of criminal aliens, unquote. So you see what she's doing here. All of that seemingly language to justify an eventual invocation of the Insurrection Act to have U.S. military troops turn against their fellow countrymen with arrests and martial law, federal curfews, prison camps, and all of that that might come with such a declaration. We'll see if it happens. Noam went on to then insult our city of immigrants, our city of angels here in L.A. as a, quote, city of criminals, as she attacked L.A. Mayor Karen Bass.
Is endorsing these kind of activities has allowed her city to be completely devastated with crime, and now she's holding press conferences talking about the fact that people have the right to peacefully protest and that they're a city of immigrants. Well, they're not a city of immigrants. They're a city of criminals because she has protected them for so many years. And so we're coming in and doing what the president has said that he's going to do, and he's going to allow people to live in a safe community again. And we're going to use the authority that he has as president of the United States to conduct these operations. And the more that people conduct violence against law enforcement officers, boy, we're going to hit them back, and we're going to hit them back harder than we ever have before.
Like a puppy in a gravel pit. I guess that makes you and I criminals, Des Doyne. We're here in the city of criminals.
Apparently.
If Trump and Noam were hoping to quell protests against their brown shirt roundups of migrants with the deployment of U.S. soldiers in America, and clearly they weren't, clearly they are hoping to incite insurrection here rather than defend against it. Well, the plans to quell do not seem to be working, but the plan to intensify protests do seem to be working very well, not just here in L.A., but across the country. As NBC News reported today, the protests that roiled Los Angeles over the weekend were set to spread again on Tuesday across the country as activists planned demonstrations in New York, Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, and elsewhere. Rallies protesting ICE raids and the government's immigration policies have spread across California and beyond this week as a series of long-planned so-called No Kings demonstrations have been planned nationwide for this coming Saturday. NBC News on Tuesday counted at least 25 rallies and demonstrations coast to coast. Thousands reportedly marched through San Francisco on Monday, the second day of anti-ICE protests there. The San Francisco Police Department said on X that the demonstration was, quote, overwhelmingly peaceful, but added that two small groups, quote, broke off and committed vandalism and other acts at the end of the night. Pretty much what happened here in L.A., though Trump hasn't deployed federal troops to San Francisco yet. Quote, it's important for us to show up everywhere because what happened in L.A., what's happening all over the country, said John Joy of Berkeley, who attended Sunday's protest with a sign that read, California National Guard and Newsom protect our First Amendment rights. Jesse McKinnon of Pleasant Hill carried a sign that read, softball dad against tyranny. At least 1,000 people joined a protest at a federal building in Santa Ana in Orange County. I guess that's a county of criminals now. Hundreds gathered at City Hall in San Jose on Sunday, and two separate protests occurred down in San Diego. Protests took place across the Portland, Oregon metro area, as well as in Seattle and Las Vegas. San Francisco Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi noted the irony that during Trump's actual January 6th insurrection, she and other lawmakers, quote, begged him to deploy the National Guard. There were protests on the East Coast as well on Monday in New York, outside of Trump Tower in Midtown. Protesters also gathered in Boston, Washington, Baltimore, and Philadelphia, even in Texas and in the South and the Midwest. The Daily Texan report that some 500 gathered at the Texas Capitol in Austin on Monday, while hundreds gathered in San Antonio. Rallies and demonstrations also took place in Charlotte, Atlanta, Louisville, Memphis, Chicago, Detroit, Oklahoma City. So how long will it be before Trump finds an excuse to invoke the Insurrection Act and deploy troops to all of those cities as well? I don't know. But I do hope the protests continue to grow, even if, as I mentioned a few times yesterday, I really, really hope that protesters do not take the bait by giving Trump's shock troops a reason to arrest them. That, even as it's hard to know whether those arrested so far for failing to disperse or vandalizing buildings with graffitis, etc., are actually MAGA folks. hoping for exactly that, hoping that it will, you know, inflame the passions, hoping to give reason to Trump to declare use of the Insurrection Act. Of course, as we also noted yesterday, putting on a red MAGA hat at these demonstrations would probably keep you perfectly safe from ever being arrested, since folks wear that hat, they can apparently be as violent and insurrection-y as they like, according to Trump's pardons of thousands of such insurrectionists at his January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. As we go to air, the state of California has sued Donald Trump over his ridiculous and arguably unlawful federalization of the California National Guard and even more ridiculous deployment of U.S. Marines here in the streets of L.A. They are now asking for an order to block their use in assisting with immigration raids. The judge in the case, not long before airtime, has denied that request on an emergency basis, but has said that they will be able to present testimony arguing for that this Thursday. Let's take a quick break here, and we will come back with some election news of various sorts. We'll get out of L.A. for a happy moment, including, well, some bad, if amusing, news for Attorney General Pam Bondi's brother. If some good news with it for the rule of law, also a good decision from the U.S. Supreme Court, believe it or not, regarding elections in Pennsylvania, and some hilarious news regarding one of the last jackasses willing to continue choking the ridiculous 2020 stolen election chicken now that he's got to do so in a court of law. All of that and Desi Doyen's latest Green News report. Maybe is still ahead on today's broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
The broadcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. Please drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Possibly. They're all crazy. The whole world is crazy. Anyway, welcome back to your dose of sanity, the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Glad to have you here with us today, as ever. Well, apparently not everyone in Washington, D.C. is down for the crazy attempted fascist takeover of the United States by Team Trump. That is good news. Especially the lawyers seem to be against it. Members of the D.C. Bar Association have now overwhelmingly rejected the efforts of Brad Bondi, brother of Trump's pathetically corrupt U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, to lead one of the largest and most influential bar associations in the country. Brad Bondi's blowout election loss comes as the Trump administration continues its attempted autocratic crackdown on the legal system itself and the legal industry. On Monday, though, the D.C. Bar Association announced the results of its annual leadership elections and that its members had chosen attorney Diane Seltzer as its next president of the powerful group. But we've covered elections now for, I don't know, 20 something years. We've talked about a lot of landslide elections before when the winner, you know, beats the loser by 20 points or even 30 points. But in this case, we may need a much stronger word than landslide.
Really?
Yeah. Seltzer reportedly secured 90.9% of the vote.
Wow.
To Brad Bondi's 9.1% of the 9.1% of the vote is all that Brad could scrape up there. That's a nearly 82-point margin of victory over Boy Bondi. This year's elections, for some unknown reason, also marked a record voter turnout for the group, according to the organization, with almost 37,000 members casting their ballots as of June 3. That's more than 41% of eligible voters. Now, in truth, 41% does not sound like a huge turnout, but apparently it was, in fact, a record one. It is a significant jump from most of their recent elections, including last year's, which boasted a turnout of just over 8%. So, yeah, 41% is a pretty big turnout. And, of course, an 82% margin of victory is something beyond a landslide. I don't even know what it is. Brad Bondi, Pam's bro, is a partner at the white-collar criminal defense firm Paul Hastings, which had previously represented the Trump Media and Technology Group. That's the company that owns Trump's money-losing, failing social media site. And former Trump's buddy, Elon Musk, was also represented, or is also represented, by the law firm. You know, the buddy who says that the reason Trump's FBI has not released the Epstein files, listing Epstein's closest pedophile friends, is because Trump is on that list. That's what Elon says, not me. I don't know. Anyway, just mentioning that last part in case you forgot, given all the news from L.A. that Trump has been pointing you toward every single hour of the day since Musk publicly made that claim on his failing social media site. Anyway, Brad Bondi's blowout loss in his attempt to take over the D.C. Bar Association comes as the Trump administration continues its attack on the legal system, the legal profession itself. Since retaking the White House, Trump has sought to take away security clearances from lawyers who worked at law firms that worked with his political opponents. Yes, he's weaponizing the federal government against lawyers. So far, he has been blocked by the federal courts in every single one of those instances where the firms actually challenged his bogus executive orders. He's harshly criticized federal judges who have ruled against his agenda. For that, winning a rare slap on the hand from Chief Justice John Roberts in the bargain. And he has fired career lawyers at federal agencies across the government, which sadly he has been successful in doing to date. As NBC News reported, while the general public may not pay much attention to bar associations, lawyers do. The non-governmental groups decide who gets to be a lawyer, who gets to stay a lawyer when misconduct allegations are involved. Well, no wonder they wanted to take that over.
Exactly.
The D.C. Bar has more than 120,000 members, and by virtue of its location in D.C., it is where a significant number of federal attorneys are, in fact, licensed.
Okay, good. So it means that the D.C. Bar, at least, has prevented the cancer of Trump's fascism from spreading to them.
At least so far.
Yeah.
Now, had Bondi, Brad Bondi, won the election, in fact, he would have been very influential in deciding, for example, if crooked Trump attorneys like Rudy Giuliani and, yes, Pam Bondi would even be able to keep their law licenses amid allegations of corruption, violations of law. So, his loss is a very good thing at this moment for the rule of law in the U.S. In a statement, the victorious Diane Seltzer said her election means, quote, "We have a bar full of lawyers who care about making sure their leadership reflects their values, which are maintaining the rule of law, being able to practice law without fear of retaliation, and having a leader who is experienced and has the qualifications to be in that position." Brad Bondi was not the only Trump ally who lost on Monday. Alicia Long, who worked closely with the ridiculously corrupt and inept Republican activist Ed Martin, who Trump put in place as the acting U.S. attorney in D.C. He was so ridiculous and so corrupt that Trump had to pull his nomination to become the permanent U.S. attorney in D.C. because he couldn't even get that nomination through the otherwise compliant Republican majority on the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. That guy's ally, Alicia Long, was also running in these elections, in her case, to become the D.C. Bar Association's treasurer. She lost as well, in her case, to Amanda Molina. Congratulations, Amanda. And while I never might have guessed that I would be covering D.C. Bar Association elections on this show in my lifetime of covering elections, well, here we are, and there you go. The U.S. Supreme Court, meanwhile, in a series of announcements that were apparently accidentally released by the court last Friday, has rejected a Republican appeal and left in place a Pennsylvania court decision allowing people to cast provisional ballots when their mail-in votes are rejected for not following technical procedures in state law. The High Court released the decision on Friday after what the court described as, quote, an apparent software malfunction had sent out early notifications about these orders that had otherwise been slated to be released on Monday. A technological error also resulted in an opinion being posted early last year as well. But hey, accidents happen. And in this case, the court decided that accidents that happen for voters, such as those who accidentally forget to mail in their ballot, when they mail in their ballot, they forget to put their ballot into a secrecy sleeve, that they should not be prevented from voting altogether, as Republicans had been hoping for voters in the very closely divided Keystone State. The justices acted in an appeal that was filed by the Republican National Committee, the state GOP, the Republican Majority Election Board in Butler County, Pennsylvania, all hoping to prevent voters from getting a second chance to cast their ballot if they messed up the first time. Pennsylvania's top court ruled last year that the county, Butler County, must count provisional ballots that were cast by two voters after they had learned that their mail-in ballots were voided because they arrived without mandatory secrecy envelopes. Pennsylvania Democrats had urged the U.S. Supreme Court to stay out of the case, and on Friday, it seems, they decided to do so, leaving the ruling by the High Court in Pennsylvania that would count those votes, leaving that in place.
Wow, it's really remarkable how Republicans, even now in swing states and elsewhere, are still working at every opportunity to block legal voters from voting.
Yep. And speaking of, finally, the very, very sad, if hilarious, story of MyPillow CEO and chief doofus Mike Lindell. It continues today after all of these years, as one of the defamation cases against him has finally made it to trial this week, with testimony at a Denver courthouse now underway, and Lindell himself taking the stand in his own defense, which, as you will see, while usually a terrible idea, might actually make sense in this particular case. After the 2020 election, Lindell, as you remember, began accusing voting machine companies like Dominion and Smartmatic of having rigged the election for Joe Biden while claiming that he had evidence of this theft. He never actually, you know, offered any of that evidence, however, even as he continued and apparently continues to this day to stand by his claims. But since I've told this story for going on 5 years now, allow me to turn it over for summary to first to Courthouse News to remind you how we got here. And then, if time allows, to CNN's Donny O'Sullivan, who's been tracking Lindell on this particular story for years. As reported by Courthouse News yesterday, Mike Lindell told a jury on Monday that he stands by his claims accusing Dominion Voting Systems' former employee Eric Coomer of being a traitor and a criminal, statements for which the MyPillow CEO now faces defamation claims. Quote, "I haven't done anything to Mr. Coomer's life," Lindell said. "I stand by what I said because what they did to MyPillow is criminal." Okay. Lindell told the jury that he told Coomer to turn himself in And when he did so, he wasn't accusing Coomer of stealing the 2020 election from Donald Trump. He saw Coomer's defamation lawsuits against him and other right-wing 2020 conspiracy theorists as efforts to silence his crusade against electronic voting machines. Now, mind you, those who have been following, listening to the Bradcast or reading bradblog.com over many, many years now, several decades, know that I have been making the case against electronic voting systems in various ways for years. In fact, I have probably reported on them nationally more than anyone else in this country over that period.
True.
If Lindell had evidence of some rigging voting systems, I would be delighted to report on it, no matter who those claims came from, who benefited, or who lost from that evidence. But while Lindell and others have cited a lot of my work on voting systems from years ago to try to make their case in 2020 against Joe Biden, etc., neither Lindell nor others have ever produced any evidence of rigged voting systems in the 2020 election. Back to courthouse news. After Trump lost the 2020 election, Lindell invested millions of dollars into investigating election fraud, efforts that included collecting individual county voter rolls, hiring cybersecurity analysts, and preaching his since debunked claims of hacking across Fox and Newsmax programs. Lindell's mission brought him to a right-wing podcast hosted by a guy named Joe Altman, who claimed that in the months leading up to the election, he had infiltrated an Antifa activist phone call on which he swore that he heard a man called, quote, Eric from Dominion, saying that he, quote, made effing sure that Trump would not win the election. An internet search then of Eric and Dominion in Denver, Colorado, led Altman to Eric Coomer, a director of product strategy and security for Dominion Voting Systems in Denver. Although there was never any, you know, actual evidence that Coomer had been on the call, that Coomer had even said any of that, that Coomer had certainly rigged the election, Altman's claim had spread like wildfire among those falsely claiming that the election was stolen from Trump. It was picked up by, hosts on YouTube shows, on the Gateway Pundit propaganda site. It was reported on One America News Network, shared on social media by Trump's own son, Eric. In December of 2020 and into 2021, Coomer sued Altman, the podcaster. He sued the Donald Trump campaign and others who retold this story as the big lie kept spreading and eventually drove Coomer out of his job. Newsmax settled with Coomer in January of 2021. They issued an on-air retraction, which apparently ticked off Mike Lindell because he had spent so much advertising on that far-right outlet where he claims to have subsequently been blacklisted by them. Because he felt he was being censored, Lindell said he sponsored a cyber symposium in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for some reason. Remember that? In August of 2021, footage of which was streamed to some 13 million viewers on Lindell's Frank Speech website, which has since been renamed Lindell TV. After he called Coomer a criminal from the conference stage, Coomer filed a defamation suit in 2022, calling the MyPillow CEO, quote, among the most prolific vectors of baseless conspiracy theories claiming election fraud in the 2020 election. Yep, that sounds like my pillow guy. For the record, it was also at that symposium that while the then Mesa County, Colorado County Clerk, Tina Peters, she was on stage with Lindell at the time, that proprietary code to Dominion voting systems, apparently Tina Peters' own voting systems from her own county, was released far and wide over the internet. Well, Tina Peters is now serving a 9-year sentence after being convicted on 7 criminal state counts, including multiple felonies for her role related to sneaking into her own county's secure voting system room, helping to copy the software code, and eventually having it distributed over to the internet. That, after Lindell would go on to pay to keep her hidden from law enforcement in the weeks following his silly cyber symposium, where he promised to release evidence of a stolen election, but you'll be shocked to learn he never did. After being sued by Coomer, then, Lindell continued to go on podcast. He called Coomer a criminal, and the litigation to, was, quote, lawfare meant to drain his money and silence his advocacy for replacing voting machines with hand-counted paper ballots. Take it from me, Mike. This is not how you do it. You know, you can advocate for replacing voting machines. You can advocate for hand-counting paper ballots. But this ain't how you do it. You don't go out and lie about people. You don't claim you have evidence that you actually do not have. Take it from me. Lindell told the jury this week in the trial, quote, after 4 months of pouring money into this, all I got was blockers. And I didn't know Dr. Coomer or why he would do this to my company. I think he's claiming here that Coomer blocked access to Lindell's websites selling his crappy pillows or something.
Somehow.
Yeah. At his peak, says Courthouse News, Lindell said MyPillow brought him $50 million of net worth. Today, he said he has fallen $10 million into the red, although dead-ending dupe supporters here have apparently donated a collective $350,000 to his legal defense fund. While touting election fraud narratives, Lindell provided promo codes for discounts on MyPillow sales. On the stand, he testified that people listening can get a discount during the trial by using a promo code that I won't bother to mention. Despite the attempt by Coomer's attorney to try to keep Lindell's unwieldy narrative on the stand narrowed to simply addressing the questions, Lindell often delved into critiques of voting machines, boasted the good that his company brings to Americans, characterized Coomer as a getaway driver for a diamond heist, and called his attorneys criminals, charging Coomer with, quote, breaking me and taking my money. Dominion itself also sued Lindell directly in February of 2021. And last year, an arbitration panel found that he owed $5 million to a software engineer who participated in the Prove Mike Wrong challenge from that cyber symposium in 2021 to have anyone to give $5 million to anyone who could prove that his allegations were false. And this software engineer did exactly that.
So he entered the Prove Mike Wrong contest, Prove Mike Wrong, and then was stiffed on the
He refused
the
to pay him, yeah. But here's the thing that Lindell is hoping will swing the jury in his favor, as it is the trial is scheduled to go through the end of this week. His attorneys counter that the case is not about whether Lindell's evidence of fraud holds up, but his genuine belief that Coomer and Dominion voting machines perpetrated fraud. So they may not have actually done it, in other words, but Lindell, his own lawyers are apparently arguing, is crazy enough to believe that they did, and he still believes that today. Therefore, it's not defamation because
he really believes it?
He didn't knowingly lie about all of this. He actually believed it then, and he still believes it now.
So he must be allowed to continue to defame this person because he really, really believes
that's the thing, which
that's
is why insane. Exactly. If they can make the case that, oh, this guy is just crazy enough, then maybe that's what they're apparently using as their defense. As the trial got underway in Denver, CNN's Donny O'Sullivan, who's been covering Lindell's antics for years, did so again in what arguably helps drive home that point of Lindell's attorneys, that he's just crazy enough to actually believe the evidence-free nonsense that he continues to spout. Here's that report from Donny O'Sullivan this week on CNN.
Pretty good, huh?
So you're going live on Bannon now?
Yeah. You guys, what we decided at MyPillow, because we really do need your help.
This is Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, doing a live promotion for his pillow company on the steps of a federal courthouse in Denver.
We put everything back up there. The MyCrosses, you save 50%. We're turning that into resources for this trial.
Lindell is here to stand trial in a defamation lawsuit brought against him by a former Dominion Voting Systems executive.
So even when you're fighting in court, you're still doing the day job, promoting pillows?
Yeah, well, I have to. That's my job.
Yeah.
You know, my pillow has been attacked. I got to do commercials every day.
Lindell, one of the country's best known election conspiracy theorists, is being sued by Eric Coomer.
How dare him come and sue my pillow? He's a scumbag for doing that. Put that in there. Scumbag. S-C-U-M bag.
Coomer and his former employer, Dominion Voting Systems, have been the target of election conspiracy theories dating back to 2020.
I have been in hiding in a secure location. I have not been able to return to my normal life since all of these baseless accusations came out.
A right-wing podcaster made a baseless claim that he had heard Eric Coomer on a supposed Antifa call talking about rigging the 2020 election.
And so then Eric responds, keeps speaking, and then someone interrupts and says, what are we going to do if effing Trump wins? And he responds with, and I'm going to paraphrase this because obviously I didn't write exactly what he wrote, right? is don't worry about the election. Trump is not going to win. I made effing sure of that. Ha ha ha.
Coomer strongly denies being on the call, and there is no evidence that he was. But still, that baseless claim spread throughout the MAGAverse, and eventually, Coomer got on Lindell's radar.
You've been part of the biggest crime this world has ever seen, Eric Coomer.
Coomer sued Lindell in 2022, saying that he had faced death threats and harassment as a result of Lindell's conduct. The moment Lindell was served with legal papers, caught on camera.
What is this? Sir, what is this?
Now Lindell is facing a jury for the first time.
If this jury sides with Eric Coomer, will it give you pause? Will it give you a moment where you say, maybe I'm wrong about this election stuff?
Never. I'm not wrong.
Pillows are everywhere in this case. Coomer alleges Lindell used viral online conspiracy theories to drive traffic to websites that in turn advertised his pillows.
In the lawsuit, it says that MyPillow, I think, made something like $2.5 million through promo codes to do with defaming Coomer and pushing election conspiracy theories. Is that true?
No, we didn't change any of our business model that I've been doing for 15 years. There's tens of thousands of promo codes.
Pillows came up in Lindell's deposition.
And I'm not asking about the lumpy pillow calls.
No, they're not lumpy pillows. That's not what they call on, okay? When you say lumpy pillows, now you're an ass. You got that? You're an ass is what you are.
Mike,
no,
sorry.
He's an ass. No, he's an ambulance chasing ass.
Pillows even came up in jury selection.
One of the questions for the jury was if they had bought a MyPillow.
Right.
And some people had.
Mm-hmm. And they eliminated those. Each side can eliminate people.
This must be the first trial ever where the jury pool was selected based on what pillow they slept on.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think jurors are normally asked what pillow they use.
Lindell has been unsuccessfully trying to prove his baseless election claims for years. Like in 2021 when he held a cyber symposium where he said he had proof that China rigged the 2020 election, but he wouldn't show that proof to us.
If your stuff is legit, if the data is legit, wouldn't it be better for you to hand it over to as many cyber experts as possible?
You know why? I'll give you the answer. Because I've been told that they can go out there and corrupt it and make fake stuff and put fake news out. So I don't need your people to go out and doctor the evidence to put out on Mike Lindell's a conspiracy.
So you and I, we go back a long way.
Yeah.
2021, your cyber symposium.
Yeah.
It's now 2025.
Yeah.
Trump has won.
Yeah.
The 2020 election is over.
Yeah.
Do you ever just want to stop? Do you ever just want to say, I got to stop being so obsessed with elections and machines and saying that it was stolen and rigged and all this sort of stuff?
No, because it's not just about that. Election was the eye opener.
That was Lumpy Pillow Salesman and Scumbag S-Q-U-M Bag. Mike Lindell. Now, he may not be a scumbag. He may not have lumpy pillows, but I believe that he does. So if you disagree, Mike Lindell, I guess you can sue me. He never offered any evidence, just underscoring that again, of rigged Dominion voting systems in the 2020 presidential election, despite all the lies and damage he has done to himself, even if now he claims that he still believes it, at least in hopes of winning this defamation suit filed against him. We'll see what happens. The trial is scheduled to run through the end of this week. We will let you know how it all works out. Green News Report, which is not crazy at all, is next on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Hey, this is Brad. Please consider supporting whichever progressive media outlet is serving you. Most, just like us, do not receive corporate or political support. We all need your support to counter the powerful corporate media echo chamber. From Desi Doyen and myself, thank you. Well, Desi Doyen, I'd love to say you have the only non-crazy news of the day here on the broadcast. But looking down the list, some of this is kind of crazy.
Yes, it is.
Well, you can decide in our latest Green News Report.
Poor air quality warnings have been posted in the upper Midwest, advising people with heart or lung disease, older adults, and pregnant people to limit outdoor activities.
Wildfire smoke from Canada may be more toxic than usual. Natural gas-fired stoves increase cancer risks, new study finds. Plus, Oregon woman sues Big Oil for its role in deadly 2021 extreme heat wave.
You go, Oregon woman. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
A very public breakup between the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, and arguably the most powerful.
Elon Musk is wasting no time pushing back. He said, without me, Trump would have lost the election.
Woo! This isn't about policy anymore. This is getting personal. This is Elon saying, I made you. And like everything else I make, I can blow you up.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, another bad and early wildfire season in Canada, now affecting the U.S. as usual.
Oh, yes, it is. More than 200 wildfires are blazing across central and western Canada, half of which are out of control because the terrain is too difficult for fire crews to access. The fires have burned more than 6,000 square miles so far, the second largest on record for this time of year. The smoke is creating hazardous air quality, of course, in Canada, but also across the upper U.S., and it's even reaching Europe. Public health experts are warning that wildfire smoke is more toxic than people realize. It contains tiny particles that can travel deep into the lungs or enter the bloodstream when inhaled. But the smoke from Canada may be more toxic than usual, containing pollutants from Canada's decades of mining in its forests that left behind elevated levels of toxic metals in soils and waterways, which studies show are carried aloft in the smoke.
Really?
Worse, wildfire smoke is also causing indoor air pollution at higher rates than previously known. The first global study of indoor air pollution from wildfires calculates that toxic wildfire pollution infiltrates the homes of 1 billion people a year. They found wildfire smoke is harmful even when windows and doors are closed.
Oh, Canada.
The researchers say indoor air pollution from wildfires can be reduced with air purifiers, but the costs are often too high in poorer nations. In an interview with PBS, meteorologist Matthew Cappucci emphasized the risk.
If I were in North Dakota right now, I'd be turning off my air conditioning and only circulating the air inside my home. Anything folks can do to eliminate essentially outside air coming in is what I would really recommend. We hate to say it, but those N95 masks from the COVID era could come in handy because, once again, the smoke is made up of these fine little particulates that you don't want to be breathing in.
Well, I knew something good would come of COVID.
Ironically, the wildfires are curtailing crude oil production in the province of Alberta. About 7% of the country's overall tar sands oil production is offline because of the fires, according to Reuters. Ironic because Canada's tar sands emissions contribute to man-made global warming, which in turn is intensifying the very wildfires that are now curbing oil production.
They can't drill for the oil because of the wildfires that they helped start.
Yeah.
Nice.
Also harming indoor air pollution are gas stoves. A new study from Stanford University finds that gas-burning stoves increase the chances of getting cancer, with the risk for children nearly double the risk for adults.
Really?
The study confirms previous research finding that gas stoves emit benzene, a carcinogen also found in secondhand cigarette smoke, even when the cooking appliances are turned off.
Mm.
In the courts, an Oregon woman is suing major oil and gas companies over the tragic death of her elderly mother, who died of heat stroke during a historic heat wave in the Pacific Northwest in 2021. The lawsuit claims wrongful death, citing numerous investigations revealing that the oil industry spent decades and hundreds of millions of dollars to deceive the public that burning their product causes dangerous climate change impacts, like intensifying extreme heat waves. It is the first time that fossil fuel companies have been sued over the death of an individual caused by man-made climate change. And finally, some weird news. The Trump Administration Environmental Protection Agency in April neglected to publish an annual report on U.S. greenhouse gas emission sources as compiled by the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
So the Environmental Defense Fund got that report via a Freedom of Information Act request. And it turns out U.S. greenhouse gas emissions actually declined in 2023, slightly.
And yet they didn't want to publish that report.
Right. They didn't want you to know about it for some reason.
Because it had to do with climate change, I guess.
I guess.
You can't even speak the words. For much more on all of these stories and to read that report, stop by our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Okay, yeah, that is crazy.
It's so
that
weird.
That is crazy. Well, I mean, it's not crazy. If they even talk about whether emissions exist, that works out poorly for the fossil fuel industry, who doesn't like conversation.
Yes, and that means the Trump administration has to acknowledge that climate change might be real, which they do sometimes, but then other times they don't because, yeah, they're all crazy.
They're all crazy. Anyway, we're crazy getting out. Thank you very much to our producer, Desi Doyen, to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. And if you missed any portion of today's show or you want to hear it again, share it with someone you know, love or hate, you can do so anytime for free at bradblog.com. Hey, while you're there, while we don't have any pillows to sell, we sure would love your support because you are the ones who help us stay on your public airwaves. Please consider hitting a donate button or go straight to bradblog.com/donate. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, I am simply The Brad Blog. We will see you there. Until we see you here next time, I think with Digby and Driftglass tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Shut it down.